This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shafsky on 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy rejoins all day. Why not? Love you, Timmy. 95.7 The Game knockout tournament's back, 8 o'clock. Be listening for that. By the way, be listening for the next 10, 15 minutes. You know why? Because our friends at Under Armour, they're so nice. They're so sick. Stephen Curry, Under Armour, they've been so good to us all week because we've been giving away a pair of the Stephen Curry Under Armour What the Bay 12s, Joe Shasky. They released today on UA.com. Shout out to Under Armour, all the good people over there. They've been doing a bunch of signage all over the city. I've been seeing it on billboards. Love Under Armour, what they are all about, and the What the Bay 12s. They're awesome. They're sick. They're like two different colors too, which is, that's the thing the kids are doing these days. Two different color shoes, two different color socks. I love it. You're a big sneakerhead. I know you love the Curries. I know you love the Curry brand, all of that. So shout out Under Armour. They've been so good to us. Caller number 5, not now, but when we hear a sounder, I'm not going to play it yet because if you're listening last segment, you heard it. So be listening for the next 15 minutes, 415-523-4652. Be the fifth caller there to win a pair of the Steph Curry Under Armour What the Bay 12s. Shout out to Under Armour and shout out to all of you listening on the Odyssey app, on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. We've been talking about the win last night, 3-1 in the Jimmy Butler era, 105-98, the Warriors win, Joe Shasky. It's Valentine's Day. We're appreciating the people we love. Shout out to those that love us. Shout out to Matt Nahegan. By the way, I got a Candygram. It's right here, folks. My boss, Matt Nahegan, showing me love this morning. You know, I got some Skittles, I got some Twix, I got a Snickers. You jealous, Joe Shasky?
Well, there's like a, you know, no bonuses, no raises, no parking, but I'll get you a Candygram. Joke in there somewhere.
Well, I'll appreciate the candy. It's something. Again, it could have been.
Odyssey loves us.
It could have been a text message. All he could have said, you know what? I appreciate you and what you've done in the morning roast these last 2 weeks.
Well, you have crushed it.
Thank you. He didn't send me a Candygram, though, so really it's kind of ringing hollow at this point. Just going to be honest.
So is that a Candygram? Is that what they're calling that?
Yeah. Well, yes. Have you ever gotten one of these? Did you ever do these in high school?
Like in grammar school. I was like seven.
By the way, how old are you calling it grammar school? Are you like 80 years old?
Well, that's what it is.
It's elementary school.
And maybe in 1943.
Yeah, what? I call it grammar school.
Yeah, grammar school.
You call it grammar school? You're from the East Coast.
K through 8.
Yeah, exactly.
New York Ken over here.
You probably call it a book bag and not a backpack, too.
No.
Do you call it pop or soda?
Exactly.
I'm not from the Midwest.
Yeah, what are you, like, what?
We're all over the place here. Fact of the matter is, I got a Candygram. Joe Shasky didn't. He's salty
Sam
about it.
Sam, of all people, trying to give me some, like, you know, verbiage is just hilarious.
888-957-9570. One word to describe this Golden State Warriors team. At the All-Star break, Joe Shasky said Lombard / surging. I'm just going to go with surging. I said chaotic. Ken said resilient?
Yes, sir.
Lubman said
stressful.
Stressful. There we go. What say you? 888-957-9570. We saw someone said seesaw. It's been a seesaw of a season. Emotionally, you could say draining at times, or it's been uplifting as of late. Mike Dunleavy speaking with Steiny and Goo yesterday, Joe Shasky, courtesy of the River Islands guest line.
They get all the guests.
They do, but you know what? They've been crushing it. They've been live on location at Splash at Thrive City. That looked like a lot of fun. Like, there's part of this where it's like you're jealous, but also like you got to be realistic. We start at 6 in the morning. Like, do you want to be over there at 6 in the morning where it's all dark?
Well, I could have gotten the exclusive with Dunleavy last Friday when I saw him at one of the undisclosed CYO gyms.
Well, why didn't you do that?
Because I don't want to bother the man.
Oh, God. You always be contenting, ABC.
I know.
Always be pushing the program, Joe Shasky.
Well, it's like the boss has an ABF, always be funneling. Always be funneling the good guests to Stiney and Guru.
It's all right. Hey, I mean, it's not like we didn't have Jerry Rice on this week, right? The greatest player in the history of the sport.
We were efforting T.O. today.
We had Jason Richardson on yesterday, just one of the all-time Warriors as well.
No, Jay Rich was great.
Jay Rich was sick.
If you missed that, you can find it on the YouTube or Odyssey app.
Thank you. Mike Dunleavy on Jimmy Butler, the player.
Well, ironically, I think when we, you know, when we built out our player development program, he, to me, is like the prototype of how player development should go. You draft a guy at the end of the first round. He plays a little bit his rookie year. His second year, he takes another step. His third year, he takes off. And the rest is history. And Jimmy, I saw it firsthand, the work he put in on a daily basis, the way he was coached and drilled. And it was fun to see. But I also knew, like, playing with him as a teammate, being in high-pressure situations, being in the playoffs, what it's like to be in a foxhole with the guy. And for that reason, I felt he'd be a perfect fit here. I know you age and things change over time, but I knew those were some of his core principles that have made him who he is as a pro. And for that reason, just felt like close to a no-brainer as possible for us to make this deal and get a player of his stature.
I don't think it was a no-brainer, though.
Oh.
And look, for maybe for Dunleavy's POV, it's a no-brainer.
I think it was. That's what he's speaking to, for sure.
I'm talking about, like, Kerr and Curry. And this is where, you know, if you coach long enough with different people, you're going to have disagreements on players, right? I see this a lot. Like, player X is a shortstop, Joe. It's like, I see him projecting him to be more of a third baseman or a second baseman or a center fielder.
Marco Luciano on line one.
Great example. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Great example. And then there's times in sports where you're proven wrong. There's a young man right now that, like, I didn't see him as a shortstop, right, that we've been working with for the last couple of years. He's such an athlete. He can work at a variety of positions. And now, after multiple years of development, it's like, wow, he looks really good at shortstop. I didn't see that coming. And I think there are times, stylistically, especially in basketball, you're like, what's Jimmy Butler? Kind of a ball stopper, point forward. What's he going to look like alongside Draymond, who also wants to play with the ball in his hand? Forget Steph for a second. Just Draymond.
Yeah.
Like, early returns are like, wow, the two of them really know how to share the ball together, and they know where to get each other the ball on the floor.
Well, that's why I didn't question this at all, because I think you and I were in lockstep on this. The IQ was just there with Jimmy Butler. You've seen
great players figure it out.
Exactly. Great players and high IQ and intelligent players. Say what you will about his shenanigans with other during practice, his relationship with the front office, this, that, and the other. When he is on the court, he demands a lot of attention because of his IQ. Yes, he's big. He's physical. He can get to the mid-range. He can get to the line. But he sees things both offensively and defensively that the greats just do. Draymond Green, for all, again, all the other off the court or on the court stuff that he does that drives fans crazy, and the stuff that he says, this, that, and the other, I don't question his IQ. Now, there's times when it crosses the line and he goes a step too far, and that's what's been frustrating for fans these last couple of years. It's like, all right, dude, we need you on the court, and you're doing things that are taking you off the court. That's what's driving us nuts. When push comes to shove, though, and you've seen that in these last few games, he's making some big plays. And that's what Draymond does late, defensively or offensively, when it comes to the ball in his hands. Same with Jimmy Butler. So I never questioned that. But I do think from the fans' perspective, it was like, all right, we've seen how players play with Steph, and it can be very difficult to adjust. We just saw it, not that they're the same level of player, with Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
Very difficult to play with Steph. And Schroeder spoke to that as well. It was also tough for Schroeder to play with a guy like LeBron. Like, some of these all-time greats that have so much attention on them at any given time in a game, it's very difficult to feel your way out. But I do think we underrated as a fan base and as, you know, a media, just how smart Jimmy is, Steph, and it's still taking time. You referenced, you know, the lob hasn't been there for Steph and Jimmy. There's going to be some feeling out process here. Yesterday, I kind of likened it to a wide receiver and a quarterback. Getting that timing and rhythm down is going to be something to see here these next couple weeks. But again, it's not just about this season. Think about all the work they're going to be doing in the offseason together, putting in that work, that time, that energy. You know, it's going to be paying off. And I can't wait to see this team next year again. Living in the here and now, but next year I'm very excited and very tantalized to see what this team does in the summer to try to put more around them and highlight some of the attributes of both those guys.
It's a good point. You know, I think about when you've had this, the amount of success that Steve, Steph, and Dre have had playing a certain way. I get being closed-minded to different stuff. I understand, like, you've been wildly successful.
Yeah.
I used to deal with restaurant owners and they'd be like, dude, I've been making money for 35 years and you're going to come in here and try to sell me on a product that, like, what I'm doing is working. Like, why would I be open-minded to adding some different menu item or
right.
LTO or whatever it is, right? A limited time offer. Like, we're doing just fine this way. I think where the Warriors needed to come off of their stance is that they actually haven't been that successful the last couple of years, right? In terms of what they deem success. And I think it's forced them to be more open-minded to a Jimmy Butler. I don't think they make this move 2-3 years ago.
Mm.
Do you?
No. And for a variety of reasons, also because I don't think the Heat were giving up Jimmy Butler two years ago.
Forget that aspect of it.
But yeah, to your point, like, I think they were stuck in their ways.
Exactly.
And it took, not that they're rock bottom, but it took...
some desperation.
Well, it took humbling.
Yeah,
they got humbled as an organization. Shout out Kendrick Lamar going back to the halftime show.
Yeah.
They got humbled. Their egos were humbled. Joe Lacob's ego was humbled. Stephen Curry, his ego was humbled. Draymond Green, particularly his ego was humbled. And Mike Dunleavy was put in a position where he had to be the guy, the voice of reason, because, listen, his first move was not a popular one. Let's be honest. He got rid of Jordan Poole as a fan favorite for a guy who was all-time hated.
I know.
Hated. That's Chris crazy. Paul still is probably hated from a lot of Warriors fans.
Oh, I was watching him the other day, and I was just like, I can't believe I talked myself into him.
Right? You had to, though. And you talked yourself into Jimmy Butler within 24 hours. So it is what it is. Not that Jimmy was hated like Steph, this, that, and the other. But I do think there was trepidation when you were just seeing him on ESPN constantly. You know, Jimmy... What do you think of Jimmy Butler? Oh, the guy that's indefinitely suspended, who's been going at Pat Riley, who's been taking subtle shots, who's been talking that talk, all that, this, that, and the other. Yeah, I'm good with this organization who's already kind of been topsy-turvy. Adding that, it could have the potential to be combustible. Now, it still might be, but that's later on, after he's been established for a few couple years. That's when the Jimmy Butler, like, so him, Draymond Green, it's been great again. Four games. Maybe
no, it's been a great four games,
it's
though.
Been, but it's been great.
Yeah, and I just feel like the vibes have totally changed. From the 510, it's your boy Leroy. The word I use for the Golden State Warriors is tease. They win a game.
Shout out Valentine's
Day. They lose a game. They lose two games. They win a game. I'm pulling my hair out watching this team, and I'm tired with them flirting with me and not putting out. The definition of a tease is a person who repeated emotion, pain, distress, or annoyance to another. And that's what the Warriors are doing to me. That's a good one.
Well, I think the
tease is a really good
clearly
one.
Clearly, that's one of the turn-ons for Warriors fans, because this organization has been teasing them the last couple years, and they keep coming back for more and more. Tony in SF also has another word. Your word to describe the Warriors up until this point heading into the All-Star break is what? I said chaotic. Sam Lubin said stressful. Joe Shasky said surging / Lombard. He kind of cheated there. He had two. Again, we don't want any cheating going on Valentine's Day, but I'm sure that's happening as well. And then producer Ken, New York Kenny, said resilient. Tony, what's your word to describe this Warriors team? What's up, man? You're on Spadoni and Shasky.
Hey, guys, my word is confusing, but I really like tease. That's the spot on, man. It's 'cause you watch him all year long, and you're like, I know there's greatness right there. Like, we're right there.
I feel you.
What? You know, we're right. The tease is beautiful. I can't beat that. That's perfect.
That's
I was going to say confusing, though. Confusing, because, like, you know, 1 minute you're watching them, and you're going, okay, I get it. And the next game you're watching, you're scratching your head going, what are we doing? Why are we putting that person on that person? Why aren't we doing this? Why is that person shooting instead of defending? You're just like, what is going on?
What is going on?
Confusing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Great call.
Yeah.
You know, I would say before the Jimmy Butler trade, stagnant was a word that I think would have been appropriate.
You like to use the word constipated all the time.
Because that's
I know.
Does that not describe them?
No, that's what it was. They're backed up.
It reminds me of, like, I'll go into the restroom here at Odyssey, and
there'll
be somebody at a different station who'll be like, it's like, what's going on in that stall? Jesus.
Well, they're relieving themselves is what they're doing.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
Thank you for pivoting real quick for that.
I want to send Lubman in there, you know, because I know Lubman, when he gets in there, I mean, he gets to work.
Okay, can we not? It is time to give away a pair of Curry 12s. Caller number 5 right now on the contest line, 415-523-4652. That's 415-523-4652. Be caller number 5, and you will be winning a pair of the Stephen Curry Under Armour What the Bay 12s. Call now. Again, can't thank our friends at Under Armour enough. All week, we've been giving away a pair of Curry 12s, and this is the last day to do it. Shout out Under Armour. Go to UA.com on this Valentine's Day as well, because those Stephen Curry Under Armour What the Bay 12s are releasing today.
What the Bay.
What the Bay, baby.
I'm very excited for this weekend.
Are you?
I am.
I'm fired up too, actually. This is like, I think the way they won, had they lost last night, I don't know if I'd be feeling as good if I'm a Warriors fan, but I'm feeling great. It's a payday Friday. I think the sun is going to be coming out here. I think I do see some of the clouds dissipating a little bit. The rain's going away for the weekend, Joe Shasky. It feels crisp. San Francisco feels crisp right now. It's a little chilly, but that's okay. People are going to be coming in. You're seeing the banners getting put up. I'm excited this weekend. I am. It's starting tonight, too, all the celebration.
Look, the city means a lot to me, and I'm not blind to its issues. Like, trust me, you talk to a San Franciscan and or anyone who works in the city, and they're going to tell you all the things that aren't going well.
I don't even live here, Joe Shasky. I live in Oakland, but I feel like I have a responsibility being from the Bay Area to defend it. Yeah. I have a lot of family members that live on the East Coast. They have their preconceived notions of this city. So I feel like it is up to me to defend not only San Francisco, Oakland, this, that, the other. I'm sure you feel the same way.
I do. Yeah. And it's not perfect. And I don't pretend that it's like paradise. We've got issues, but it's not as bad as everyone thinks it is. I've watched Union Square over the last, I'd say, 3 months transform. And it's nowhere near perfect. It's not what it was in the 1950s. I truly grant that to everyone. I walked by every day for months on end, and there was a hotel strike going on where it was loud and people weren't making any money because these were hotel workers that obviously were striking because of the various issues with wages, hours,
benefits,
yeah. Right? Hotel vacancy was not good. We were at a very bad spot in terms of tourism. People didn't want to travel here. It wasn't safe. There was a perceived, you know, criminal activities, real and not real, the homelessness crisis, the drug, the open air drug stuff. And again, it's not perfect, but I go by Union Square every day. And I'll just say this, the last couple of weeks, the hotel strike is done. The new mayor has found a way to strike an agreement, okay? I'm all for whoever can help make this city better. And he's done some really good things. He's not the perfect candidate. No one's the perfect person, but he's done some good things. I walk by this morning and I go, man, I haven't felt All-Star Game stuff. I see this huge billboard with Steph and LeBron and KD and Giannis. And I'm like, wow.
Pretty cool.
I'm starting to feel it.
Right.
And then I see the Shoe Palace put up a shoe kind of like display All-Star thing on the bottom floor of a vacant building. And I don't know if it's a pop-up or if it's going to stay there a lot longer, but there were lines out the door to go in. Then on the opposite corner, I see the Apple Store, which is always busy and always, they always power hose the front of their street and it's always clean. But right across the street from that, not only is that busy, Nike Town has this huge setup for all of the KD stuff and all the LeBron stuff. And I just, it's buzzing. I'm starting to feel the buzz. I'm starting to feel good about the All-Star Game. There's a lot of things going on. And so I see the hotels are up. I see tourists and groups of people doing the tourist tours. I see the duck boat, you know, tour vans and things like that. It's like I'm seeing some buzz. I'm actually seeing people shopping at Macy's. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you, I feel an uptick in the city. And that's it. With it absolutely raining like crazy and being super cold the last couple of weeks.
Right. This atmospheric river could not be ending at a more perfect time this weekend. And it's great because, you know, you're bringing both together. It's in San Francisco, but they're doing a lot of stuff at Oakland Arena too, yes. Right? They're doing a lot of the celebrity events. The practices are going to be there. So they're showing the entire Bay love. And this is, again, people are going to be coming in. They're going to be flying into Oakland. They're going to be flying into San Francisco International Airport. Shout out to our friends over there. They're going to be flying into San Jose. All around here, and it's going to be a celebration of the greater Bay Area. And this is going to be on the heels of, obviously, next year is going into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that, like, this is kind of like a practice run, if 100%. You will, for everything. Because the Super Bowl, it doesn't get bigger, at least in America. Yeah, there's the World Cup, which, oh, by the way, is also going to be happening in a couple of years, Joe Shasky.
That's what I'm saying.
That's going to be even bigger.
I agree.
So this is starting off a chain reaction, if you all remember that show on Game Show Network.
Absolutely.
A chain reaction here. All-Star Game in the NBA, we got the Super Bowl next year, and then we got the World Cup also happening. I can't wait. The World Cup, by the way, is that 2026? Is that next summer already?
Yeah.
Look, it's going to be an absolutely crazy year. And by the way, my guy Christian Pulisic, AC Milan, tough L a couple days ago, but we'll fight on there. Shout out USC. But I can't wait for that because I don't know if anyone's experienced that before. It's literally And the last time the World Cup was in America, I want to say it was early 90s, and they did play at Stanford Stadium, I want to say.
94.
94, thank you. I was only 1 year old.
Yeah.
You might have remembered it.
Oh, wow.
It was a big deal.
I was collecting cards of the USA teams back then.
Alexi Lawless, there you go. Yeah, right? Now he's in
Remember the OJ sports, chase happened on the day the World Cup opened.
Really?
Well, most people remember it for the Rockets-Knicks. I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, no one was doing World Cup back then.
No, but it's grown in popularity.
Sure. I thought it was Arnold Palmer then.
Arnold, yeah, thank you. So again, we're off the rails here a little bit, but there's major events happening sports-wise, and it's kicking off this weekend, starting today, and the Bay Area is going to be in the center stage of it, and I can't wait.
Well, and look, like you're talking about civic duty and how we feel. Like I consider myself an ambassador of the city.
You were born and raised here,
but I'm not naive to things that need to be fixed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it does cost a lot to stay here.
Yes.
Yeah, like I don't think Muni is as clean as it should be. I don't think Bart's as clean and as safe as it
better.
Should be. Yeah. Sure, but like again, I'm acknowledging the imperfections. We do have a fentanyl crisis, right? Like, trust me, I have family members that are police officers. They're knee deep in it every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. And the way that the laws and everything and our judges and different things that are in place right now.
A lot of nuances to it.
It's made it difficult to solve the problem. There's no easy answer. But gosh darn it, I'm sick of living in the negativity. This is something positive and awesome and cool for our city. Let's stick our chest out. Let's put our hands out and shake people's hands. And let's welcome them with open arms. And let's do the best we can to really embrace this amazing event. It might not come back around.
You know who I want to embrace this weekend? And I hope Warriors fans do too. And
who's that?
In the NBA. It's Kevin Durant. Here's Kevin Durant talking about coming back to the Bay Area this weekend.
Hopefully people can look at the big picture and see I got a couple murals in that arena, in that concourse, you know. So for a couple days, I know it's going to be hard, but for a couple days, you can kind of forget about how I left the Warriors or how I came to the Warriors or me not wanting to go back to the Warriors and just appreciate the weekend, appreciate the players that's there. Hopefully people can get off that appreciate basketball.
Exactly. Just appreciate him. Appreciate the basketball. Just, hey, and I think fans will, to your point. And again, it's not going to be all Warriors fans. These are the things that people need to, yes, it's in San Francisco. The entire audience is not going to be all Warriors fans. It's going to be fans from everywhere. Be a lot of national fans, a lot of people with some money. So the crowd's going to be a little more Super Bowl than anything. Yeah. But Kevin Durant's going to get some cheers. Steph's obviously going to get a lot of the cheers. LeBron, Giannis. But yeah, we'll be appreciating Kevin Durant. Why not?
I just want to tell Kevin, I want to sit him down.
Give him a hug?
No,
I want to give him a Valentine, like Candy Graham.
Dog, log off a little. Honestly, log off a little. Like, we all have that aunt or uncle who lives on Facebook in the comment section.
Yeah, I deleted mine back in the 2016 election cycle.
Right?
I needed to.
But we do. We all have that aunt or uncle that lives in the comment section of Facebook, or that friend that lives in IG. And you're just like, dude, you don't have to video everything that you've eaten over the last 7 years. Like, we get it, okay? You don't have to do every single outfit you put on there. It's probably worse for people in media because we feel like we have to amplify our platform and all that stuff. Katie, in real life, people loved you as a Warrior. People still root for you. Yeah, there might be a little bit of ill will. That's wherever you go,
I don't
right?
think there's a little bit. I think there's still a section of the fan base that feels some type of way about Kevin Durant.
I personally believe when you go to Oracle, or excuse me, Chase Center now, and you just go, KD, dude, we're so lucky to have him.
Totally.
I think that's the consensus
Again,
answer.
Going back to the word humbling, I think because the fan base has been humbled the last 2 years, you feel that way. But I remember back in that championship run, people were going out of their way to celebrate the Warriors. But first and foremost, a lot of them would say, ha, take that, Kevin Durant. That's what you get for leaving. That was a thing. So I do think that Kevin also feels some type of way about that. Last time the Warriors did win, they said, huh, in your face, buddy. Okay, it's like, all right, I won two finals MVPs.
I know, but I watched Jeff Kent, basically double middle finger the entire city, the entire region, go to the Dodgers, go to the Astros or whatever.
Social media wasn't what it was now, though. I'll say that.
But in real life, when he steps out onto Oracle Park, he gets a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Like, that's real life, not the internet, not us taking calls from people anonymously hiding behind their phone, right?
Sure.
I'm just being real.
Okay.
I think in real life, people appreciate KD.
We got
you're never going to get consensus on anything, though, Joe. Like,
no,
that's
no, it's,
kind
it's
of
a
the
good,
society.
It's a good point. And every fan base has its knuckleheads, this, that, and the other. He's an all-timer. Shameless shout-outs coming up.
There's people that don't think Ronnie Lott is good. And like, oh, come on. Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, but am I wrong?
No, you're not. There's also people that don't think Tom Brady's good or
yeah,
or
so
this,
you're
going
to find
other.
A fragment of people that aren't going to agree on anything.
Shameless shout-outs in a couple minutes. Shout-out whoever and whatever you want. It's Valentine's Day. Shout-out to people that you love. 888-957-9570. Hey, if money's tight, just call in. Give a shout-out to so-and-so. Record it on your little Odyssey app or YouTube and say, hey, I gave you a shout-out this morning. Happy Valentine's Day. Linda and Fremont, Fly Guy, we'll get to you in a second. One word to describe this Golden State Warriors season thus far. 888-957-9570. Linda is out in Fremont. What's up, Linda? You're on with Spadoni and Chasky.
Good morning. My one word is draining. It's mentally, physically, and emotionally draining.
That's a good word.
This whole first part of the season.
Okay.
Have you enjoyed the Jimmy experience in four games?
I wasn't a fan of the bringing him there, first of all. 3-1 isn't a bad idea. But as a teacher, we look at kids that have been put in our classrooms, and we say there's a honeymoon period. Mm. So this, for me, is the honeymoon period. We'll see how it is after 6 weeks.
Linda, you're a teacher. Where do you teach? Or you don't have to say where, but what grade do you teach?
Third
grade. Are you guys doing some Valentine's Day stuff today, Linda?
All the kids, if they can, if their families celebrate, because we have a lot of different, diverse family and cultures. If you bring something, for everybody.
I totally agree.
Some parents are coming at 1:15 to make the Valentine bookmarks. But I coach the boys and girls basketball teams as well. And it's just shocking to me how the boys want to all be the three-point shooters and everything's worth two. The girls listen to the basics of everything you want them to do. And tend to get better and better.
Linda, I've coached both boys and girls.
Thanks, Linda.
At the youth level. I'll run a set for the boys, and no one does the play. The girls memorize 15 to 20 plays, run them to perfection. And they run it so well, there are people open on the play after the 100th time we've run it that I never even conceived could be possibly open. That's how good they are at running plays.
There was a Mythbusters on this when it came to multitasking and being able to do different things at a different time, and they had a man and they had a woman. And it was, you know, they first say, hey, holding or changing a baby, right? A baby's crying, you're holding them. And then you have to, you know, open to the store. You got to start cleaning this. You got to start doing this. They started slowly adding more and more onto the plate, if you will. And the guy was just struggling. The woman was just crushing it. So it just comes back to, I'm not surprised. First and foremost, paying attention for us men is very hard, very difficult. We have very short attention spans, especially Joe Shasky in this era. We're dumb. And you know what? Well, it's okay.
And they all, like the boys all want to be LaMelo. Or, like, no, I'm dead serious. Like, LaMelo is
swag.
Like a god.
He's got
the 13-year-olds.
Jaw, yeah.
And I'm like, LaMelo doesn't even make the playoffs, guys.
See Anthony Edwards dunk last night, by the way, the T-Wolves.
Anthony Edwards is more of, like, the 20 and up. The teenagers,
that's true.
They like Jaw, and they like Luka. They love Luka, and they love LaMelo.
The Anthony Edwards mindset is more like a Michael and Kobe.
Yeah, I think the
where it's just like, I'm a killer.
Yes.
Like, that's what I'm going to do out there. But I'm going to have the confidence to back it up, too, and the swag. Fly Guy is out in San Francisco. What's up, Fly Guy?
Fly Guy?
You're on with Spadoni and Chasky. One word to describe the Warriors team.
My one word will be stormy. Because, you know,
Steph's
been out there in the storm his whole time, you know, by itself. And who is the people that sit down in the storm? People from Florida. Jimmy Butler. He came out here. Jimmy Buckets. He's getting buckets. And, you know, that's just what Steph needed. He needs somebody that can sit through the storm with him and get through with him. So I'll say stormy right now.
You know what comes after the storm?
What?
The morning rainbow.
There you go. Shout out San Francisco. There you go. The rainbow. That's us.
I do love when I see a rainbow. There's some about it. Whoa, there's a rainbow. Like, I find that cool.
Did you used to think there was a pot of gold at the end of it? You're Irish.
No,
you have
I'm not.
Right?
No, I'm not that naive.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Maybe there is.
I was the guy that found the Santa the Santa gifts in the basement and like would cut them open and get the tape just right so I could see what was inside. Yeah,
ruins the fun of it.
The oldest is always the one who's the most privy to what's real and what's not.
I was going to say, if there's a significant age gap too, the oldest like at one point says, all right, you know Santa's not real, right? Now come help wrap these presents. So that's how it was in our household. Shameless shout out, should we do it? Does that sound good?
It's Friday.
Yeah, I'm a shameless, horrible human being.
Your chance to shamelessly shout out whoever or whatever you want.
I need to shout out somebody. I forget their names. Mm-hmm. They would know who I am if they're listening.
It's time for Shameless Shout Outs on the Morning Roast.
Well, you know you make.
All right, let's do it. Shameless shout-outs, 888-957-9570. It's Valentine's Day. It's a payday Friday. It's All-Star Game weekend. Atmospheric River is over. Who are you shouting out? What are you shouting out? I'm shouting out Valentine's Day in general. I think it's a bad rap. I love it. And I'm going to shout out Benny and Nora. Those are my two Valentines. Love you guys.
I'm going to shout out my mother. Today's her birthday. Mom, I love you. I don't know where I'd be without you, and just thank you for everything that you do for all of us, and I love you, and happy birthday.
Oh, on Valentine's Day, you're shouting out someone that you love. That's good. Yeah. See? Yeah. There you go. It all comes back. Ken, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the moms here. My first Valentine, my mom, Maria. You know, she's always been there for me, always supported me and all that. And, of course, you know, I got to shout out my wife. She's, again, another big support. And my son, Dean, you know, he... That's my real Valentine today. That little, yeah.
So you're going to eat his candy or what?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I met your mom when we had the little 95.7 get-together when we played at West Sunset.
Right. Yeah.
Dude, she can ball.
Your mom's great. No, she was a gamer. Yeah. She was all about it. And then her and my mom like are like close in age and like from like the same part of Jersey almost. So it's funny how that all worked out. Yeah. So there's that.
So not Jersey boys, Jersey girls.
There you go. North Jersey. Shout out. North Jersey. Very different than South Jersey. North Jersey. Very different. Very different. The South Jersey is more Philly fans. North Jersey, all the New York fans.
Gotcha.
Very different. Actually, my mom's a fair weather fan. I'm going to shout out Marianne. I love you. But it's whatever New York team's going well. Sometimes it's the Jets. Sometimes it's the Giants. Actually, it's never Yankees for her. And Ken will love this. Always Mets for Marianne.
Yeah. Shout out San Francisco Day School and Damian Crosby and the D3 champs of CYO in the eighth grade. We lost to them in overtime. They're a very good team, very talented. I think one of their best players' names is Judah. I could be wrong there. Damien, let me know.
Judah Maccabee.
They're a very well-coached team. They play a really good brand of ball and some really good ball players, and I look forward to seeing them play in high school.
We'll get to Sam in a second. He is screening calls, doing a hell of a job. And
don't lie to the audience.
Do you like that? No, he is. I love Sam. Another Valentine's Day shout-out. Happy Valentine's Day to Sam Lovin. He needs it right now, okay? Love me some Sam Lovin. Uncle Gene has a shout-out.
What's up, Gene?
What's up, Gene? You're on Spadoni and Shaska. What's your shout-out?
Hey, guys. It's Valentine's Day. Of course, I got to shout-out my two best girls, my wife, Auntie Jan, and my dog, Chili. They keep me going more than anything.
There you go. That's
like
Gene.
TLC
I love that.
Chili?
T-Boss? I want some chili right now with some sour cream and some shredded cheddar cheese, Joe Shasky.
I would take
it. Get a little
tapatio
in there, make it a little hot and spicy. Love that. Sam, what you got? What's your shout-out?
Well, I guess obviously you got to shout-out the mom, so I'll shout-out my mom, Jamie Ruckey, for being just such an awesome mom. And shout-out to all the grandparents out there, too. You know, give your grandparents a call. Wish them happy Valentine's Day. Shout-out to my grandma, Grandma Judith. Already hit her up. Let her know, hey, happy Valentine's Day. I'm thinking of you. Let's get over and do some dinner sometime next week. So give a shout-out to your grandparents. Give them a call. Tell them you love them. It'll make their day.
That's the love man, love men.
That's right.
On the love day.
That's right. It's not just a clever name. By the way, Judith, they're not making Judiths anymore. I don't think they're doing that.
That
was my aunt's name, my Aunt Judy, which is Judy, but yeah, Judith. They're not doing that anymore. All due respect to Judith Lubman, or no?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Thumbs up. And yeah, cherish your grandparents. I don't have any of my grandparents here anymore, so be sure to do that as well.
All right, Anthony and the St. Finbar Division I basketball team, undefeated season, playing in the championship game against Holy Name next week at St. Amedia's. Let's go. Bring multiple sweatshirts and a jacket because St. Amedia's gets cold.
Back to Chile.
Let's go. Want to give a shout out to the Holy Angels fifth grade basketball team for winning the CYO Chipper 10-0 season. Well done, boys. Shout out to Allison, my girl, since we were in preschool. Whoa. You're the rock of our household. Cam, Claire, and I appreciate and love you. Happy Valentine's
Day. Wow, they knew each other back in preschool. That's true love right there.
Me and Michelle did go to school together, grammar school.
Preschool, though?
Not preschool.
So that's not the level.
But preschool's next.
But did she
level.
Like you in grammar school or no?
Of course. I mean,
or did she grow? Or did she grow to like you? Is that what it is?
No, I always tell the joke. My wife was one of our cheerleaders, and she used to come to all of my games exclusively and cheer me on. She hates when I do that joke. I love you, Michelle.
There you go, Zach and Fremont. What you got, Zach?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Shout out to my grandma first and foremost. She turned 74 yesterday.
Hell yeah.
And then my brother today, he turned 30. So,
let's go.
You know, happy birthday, Travis. Love you, man.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Shout out to grandma. That. Shout out to brother. A lot of birthdays today on Valentine's Day. Do you get kind of screwed on Valentine's Day if you're on a birthday too? It's not quite like Christmas when you get screwed. My brother and sister always got screwed because they were December 31st, so they're New Year's Eve. So we didn't really celebrate them. It was more of just a party all the time, and everyone already used up all their money, so they weren't getting any gifts, getting any cards. It's like, oh no, we just came to hang out and have fun, and you know, here's some chips and dip.
Well, and mom, even though it's your birthday, I love you. My birthday would usually fall either on or, you know, a day before or after Thanksgiving.
Mm. Oh, you're around my brother, Sam. Same thing. Yeah.
And so what would end up happening is, you know, mom would be like, all right, I got you and your brother a gift, but it's also part of your Christmas gift. And it would be like, mom, what are we doing here? We're dividing the pie too many times here.
Right? It's just all how it shakes out.
It's a pie chart of gift culpability.
I'm the opposite. My birthday usually fell on the last day or last week of school.
Oh.
So people were, it was June 4th. So people were stoked. They're like, oh, great. School's over. I'm feeling great. Let's get Joe the greatest thing ever because I'm feeling awesome.
Like
finals are over. It's like, yeah, come to my house. Come do this, that, and the other.
Some people benefit. Yes. There's no doubt about it. And then, you know, if you bring, you know, birthday cards in terms of like birthday parties, like what I think Linda said,
sure,
you better bring them for the whole class or you don't bring them to school.
No, that's a good point.
You cannot alienate people at school.
Absolutely. Heather from the Santa Clara Hilton is joining us. What's up, Heather? You're on Spadoni and Chesky.
Valentine's Day, guys. My two girls were begging me to call in because they wanted to shout out their two best friends, the Galentines, Olivia and Zyra, also from Santa Clara. So
love it.
Happy Valentine's Day to everyone.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And shout out to Santa Clara of Hilton. We had a lot of action down at the Santa Clara Hilton, Joe Shasky.
Shout out all the teachers with the arts and crafts on a day like today. Because honestly, it does make it really cool when you go into the classrooms and stuff and you just see all the arts and crafts. And obviously some teachers are a little more talented with that stuff than others, but
there's a lot of thought
that gets put into that.
Shout out to the single moms and the single dads out there also doing it.
Absolutely.
You have to do arts and crafts. You have to do this, that, and the other. It's very difficult. I struggle with arts and crafts. I actually worked at Michael's craft store for a while. Yeah, I didn't know anything about crafts, but I had to learn about the products, this, that, and the other to help out.
The only crafts he knows are, you know,
Kraft mac and cheese. Exactly.
I was going to go. Elite mac and cheese, buddy.
Beer, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm actually not a big beer guy.
Not a craft beer guy?
No. I'm Italian. I like wine. I like, very. I like actually, not even that. Like, I'll enjoy wine with some meals. Give me just, you know, Jack and Coke. Very simple. Just give me some liquor. I'm not here to, like, just try to, like, enjoy, like, I don't like the taste of alcohol. I'm going to be honest. I don't. Oh, it grows on you.
I don't like the taste.
No, it tastes.
I don't like.
It's like, it's just like, oh, you don't have a refined palate. No, it all tastes horrible. It's all fermented crap. I just want to get tipsy.
You're not wrong, really.
Everybody in the club getting tipsy. That's me. All right. Anyone else?
Shout out Shibuzi, who's playing in the
shout out Jaquan, because Shibuzi stole it. But
actually, Shibuzi's got bangers. Don't sleep on Shibuzi.
No, Shibuzi is going to be playing. Jerry Rice, I think he's coaching Shibuzi in the Celebrity All-Star Game. He's
I don't know a single Shibuzi song outside of the bar song that
That's
he has.
Fine. That's all you need to know right now. Like, and that won some sort
what
of
other
award
bangers
at the
Grammys.
I went down the Shibuzi rabbit hole of his playlist, and no, there's a bunch that I really like.
More bangers than Kendrick?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that, but again, Kendrick is very popular.
We don't need to go back.
I don't think he's popular.
We already had this conversation.
I'm sorry.
No one cares about the halftime show.
That's a flag on me.
Are we ready for the injury report? Let's do this before Slates. Let's go to the injury report. Yeah, boy.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right. Gary Payton II was a late scratch before last night's Warriors win. Despite not appearing on the initial injury report, he was ruled out with a leg injury, more specifically a right peroneal contusion, or is it peroneal? I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. No update was given on the severity of the injury, but GP2 will have a week to rest before the Warriors' next game next Friday, a week from today, against the Sacramento Kings. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up with the game is brought to you by Frontier Ford. Anthony Slater joining us next, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. All things Golden State Warriors. He is tapped in. He's our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider. Covers the team for The Athletic. Plus, we got the keyword coming out for the knockout contest. So you're going to be listening to that after Anthony Slater. We'll give that away. Bonte Hill at 9 o'clock in studio. We have all that happening, plus the slam dunk in Vegas. There is so much happening. Plus, it's Valentine's Day. So text in, call in. The shout outs can go for the next 2 hours for all I'm concerned. Shout out whoever you love for Valentine's Day. That is fine as far as I'm concerned. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky. We're halfway home on a Friday on 95.7 The Game.
Rise. Wake up. It's time to wake on up. Wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the butcher boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Valentine's Day, Fillmore Mike. What's up, people? It's Spadoni, it's Shasky, it's the morning roast. We're halfway home on this beautiful Friday here in the Bay. The sun is creeping out here in downtown San Francisco as the Golden State Warriors win 105-98 in Houston. They are 3-1 in the Jimmy Butler era, heading into All-Star Game weekend, which kicks off again right here in San Francisco in the Bay Area. So good morning to all of you just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting ready for school. We're going to be joined by Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider here, Joe Shasky, in a few moments, and it's going to be brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And be tuned in for the next 10 to 20 minutes, I'll call it, for the keyword for the knockout competition. So please be listening. After Anthony Slater, we're going to be giving out a keyword. And then between 8:30 and 9, so the next segment, we're going to be playing a sounder. Do you got that sounder, Ken, that you can play? You're going to be playing this in a second. I promise. It's going to be worth it. Thank you. It's going to be the DJ horn. We've been playing it all week, the last 3 weeks, to be honest. So you know what it is. But when you hear that, you're going to give us the keyword, be the first caller, be at least 18 and from California, and you will qualify to play hoops on the Chase Center floor. How you doing this morning, Joe Shasky? You feeling great? Feeling awesome? This has been a fun day, man. The show's been flying by.
It's been fun, man.
Yeah, dude.
No, it's been great. It's been awesome. I'm ready for the All-Star.
Who's that, by the way? Who was that?
I don't know. You transformed into somebody, and I didn't know who it was.
Was that Professional Joe? Does that sound like that?
Well, no. Professional Joe, it sounds something like this. How are you doing? It's Joe Shasky here on the Morning Roast.
Troy McClure, is that who that was from
There are certain people in this industry who become broadcaster voice, and it drives me nuts. I'm like, dog, you don't talk like that.
It's useful sometimes, but to your point, it is funny to see things change. Do I sound like I sound on off air?
You sound very similar.
Okay. All right, so do you.
But there are people, and I guess Gary Radnich kind of started it. He would say, doing my Buster Brown thing. But there'd be times, and this is what made Radnich such a legend. He would just be himself.
Yeah.
But this is how people transform. They literally do this. How are you doing? It's Joe Shasky. I'm standing here at Union Square, and I'm looking over at Nike Town, and I'm saying to myself, look at all these great people. And for some reason, you have to do the voice deeper, and I don't know. There's a whole aura.
Well, that's why guys like Stuart Scott, rest in peace, translated so well to ESPN because he was so natural, and yes. It sounded like I was just talking to him at the bar, right? And he was doing highlights, booyah, this, that, and the other. Juxtaposed out, Dan Patrick, very professional, one of the all-timers, but it was different, right? It was Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann, who was more the humor guy too. So there's different ways to do it. One guy that's always himself on our show, though, whether it's Bonta Hill, whether it's Joe Spadoni, whether it's Joe Shasky, it's Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider. Probably the chillest guest we've ever had on our airwaves that's a regular. And I say that in the greatest way possible. Anthony Slater, just a very chill dude, which I appreciate. That's like a meme now, the chill guy. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh,
That's Anthony Slater. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't time for you to discover the islands. River Islands and Lathrop. Anthony Slater, we've been talking all morning, and by the way, happy Valentine's Day to you. I know you're a big Valentine's Day guy. One word to describe this Warriors season thus far. We've been asking the question, if I can give you one word to describe this team, what's the word for you? And good morning.
Ever evolving at this point. Good morning.
Is that two words or one? You're
it's a hyphen.
Journalist.
It's a hyphen.
It's a hyphen, right? Oh, okay. I mean, I could just say evolving.
Sorry,
I'm
getting hyphy with the hyphenations.
There you go. Thanks. Evolving would say it's evolving in this current moment. Ever evolving means it's just been like constantly evolving. I don't know. That's just how it feels, right? Remember the D'Anthony Melton era? That was a while ago.
How could I forget?
Yes. 12-3. But, you know, you obviously had the segment where they were one of the worst teams in basketball. I mean, we were talking about there was a 6-week run where they were like the third worst offense in the league. They were 7-17, whatever it was, over a 24-game stretch. There has been, it just felt like there was a segment where it was just like all trades all the time. Everybody just wondering, you know, what they could do. I don't even remember half the games in that segment. Now it's the Jimmy Butler segment. You know, 4-1, obviously heading to the break. They're coming out at 28-27 in 10th, which is not good, especially for a team that started 12-3, but you know, you get the Kings, which are right next to you in the standings, and you get the Mavericks, which are right above you coming out of the break. You win those two, which, they'll probably be favored in both. They're setting up to make a little run, so it just feels like everything continues to change.
Were you surprised at all, because you asked the question to Steve Kerr in Dallas after the game. Obviously, the game started at, 8:45 local, which is just insane, by the way. It was supposed to be 8:30, and then it went to 8:45, the national game, this, that, the other. They didn't get to Houston until early in the morning, 3 or 4, whatever it was. Were you surprised at all that Steph, Dre, and Jimmy all played and that they played heavy minutes?
Not really. I mean, especially with the loss, I do wonder if they had snuck that Dallas win. Maybe they would have pulled the parachute, but, it's not really time to give away games. Steph's knee tendonitis has calmed down enough to where they're more comfortable with him playing back-to-backs. I don't think that, like you said, they love the timing of it. They got it to their Houston hotel around 3:30 from what I heard. I think it's part of why you didn't see Steve Kerr put the pedal down as far as rotationally. I think Steph Curry had only played like 21 minutes through three quarters last night. Now he plays the entire fourth because they set it up that way. I think they were hoping not to have him, to get some garbage time basically yesterday, but they obviously blew the lead at the end of the third. So long way of answering your question. No, I wasn't surprised. I think Rick Celebrini was probably pretty uncomfortable with it, but they needed the win. And, they escaped Houston with a win, whereas if those guys sat, they would have lost. They would be 27-28 right now.
I just really like the final 5-6 minutes on both ends of the floor for them. I like that they're in these kind of tight games. The Dallas game, there was some sequences that were very frustrating, right? There was obviously the defensive foul on Moses Moody, a couple of missed layups by Steph. But to see them kind of have that trio of Draymond, Butler, and Curry, and one time Jimmy brings the ball up the floor, he passes to Draymond, Curry sets the screen, boom, he dives down the middle of the paint, wide open, backdoor, boom, layup. You see another time, Steph's the one who pops open for the three. They're clearly a work in progress, but having Jimmy as a secondary playmaker has really helped them, even in just the short term. And then you saw him take on the Kyrie assignment late in that game as well. God, they need Kuminga back, but I like what I'm seeing on both ends of the floor in the final 5-6 minutes. Don't you think that's the most important part of why they got Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, he's really good. He just does a ton of stuff. The passing's there. It seems to kind of have unlocked, some of their movement stuff where it felt stale at times. And you're not blaming Andrew Wiggins for it, but you're not really seeing Andrew Wiggins catch the ball in the short roll and make like a nice bounce pass to the dunker spot or, rip out a muscle rebound in traffic and, immediately find Steph Curry in the corner for three. There's just small stuff that Butler does that I think it accentuates everybody else. I think his scoring is not where he wants it to be. His touches, and he's talked about it, even his feel. He said he's just like a step behind where he would normally want to be, his wind. I think that's coming, and I think what matters the most is they're going to need his scoring at some point. I felt like they've needed it the last few games, and it just hasn't been there. The mid-range or even the three at times that he can shoot, he's not really shooting right now. And then, I think the other thing, I don't know how much Butler's presence helps Pajemski, because I think Pajemski's really on, you know, at this point, a 3-4-5 week stretch here that's been really good. But he looks like the guy they pumped up all summer, right? The guy that's heading towards, I've never thought stardom, and I still don't necessarily think stardom, but like this was the second year player that was going to build off that great rookie season. He's back. And if he's back, I mean, that's a fourth really good player out there, and I'm sure we can get to Moody and some of the others, but that to me has helped a lot.
Yeah, no, I pulled it up. Since returning from an 11-game absence, he's played another, let's say, 11 games. He's averaging 14-6-5. That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good. And I feel like that it's not giving you the full floor game because his decisiveness has been better. His defense has been awesome. Yeah, he's been really good. One thing that bugs me, and maybe you can elaborate on this. Maybe we can ask Steve Kerr this down the line. The switching. Certain lineups, they switch and they switch. And especially against a team like Dallas, it was driving me like crazy watching Buddy Hield and GP2 just so easily and passively give up the switch. And then you saw late in the game, Jimmy's like, no, we're not switching. I'm going to fight over the top of this. Is that a Steve Kerr thing? Is that just the philosophy of the Warriors of like, we're going to switch everything across the board? Like, I think they need to adjust that. And like when Buddy's out on an island, like they cannot allow that switch to happen so passively and so easily. It's just, they're playing into the matchups there. I know I'm getting deep in the weeds in basketball 101, but I don't get why they think that this is 2017 and they can switch everything.
I assume you're talking about the Kyrie like segment late in the Dallas game.
Yes. Yeah. And specifically against that type of a team that wants to switch you to death to get the matchup that they're looking for.
Yeah, for sure. I think that sometimes it's the players on the floor deciding when or when not to. I don't think they necessarily want to so easily allow Buddy Hield on Kyrie Irving. I think one of their issues is, they're all, especially right now, it feels like they're always in small ball lineups. And typically, a better strategy for a small ball type unit without a rim protector or a drop center or whatever in the modern NBA is to be switchy. I mean, you want to construct lineups in a small environment that, are mostly a bunch of wings that can guard, various positions. Buddy Hield, I would not necessarily consider in that vein, but I don't disagree. You don't want Buddy Hield late in the game guarding Kyrie Irving. They should have doubled. Steve Kerr said it post game. It like that should have been more of a double situation. And I think they did do it a lot more in the fourth. He said they should have done it earlier. I'd agree because Kyrie was really the only one going. But yeah, you're not. I mean, like I don't necessarily think Jerry Stackhouse is over there. Like, oh, I'm comfortable with Buddy Hield and on an island with Kyrie at all times.
Talking to Anthony Slater, our Warriors insider for 95.7 The Game and The Athletic, best in the biz at all things Golden State Warriors. And Anthony, you had mentioned, the knee tendonitis for Steph Curry, it's calmed down enough to play him on back-to-backs, or the organization feels confident enough to play him on back-to-backs. Do you foresee that being the norm going forward, Steph playing back-to-backs? Because, Mike Dunleavy joined our station yesterday with Steiny and Goo, and he said that loss to Dallas felt like a playoff loss to him. Every single game feels like a playoff game going forward. I mean, right off the break, a week from now, you're playing the Sacramento Kings, a team you might be playing again in the play-in. Then you got the Mavericks. So do you foresee Steph playing these back-to-backs going forward the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, until either his body says he shouldn't or the standings say he shouldn't, and I don't think the standings are going to, because, I think it's pretty clear the difference between, the 6 seed and the 11, basically, in the West is only going to be a few games, really like it was last year. Y'all remember the final week last year where it was even the final day, the Lakers, the Kings, and they were all playing on the same day trying to figure out who was going to be 8, who was going to be 9, who was going to be 10?
Anthony, it's an absolute joke that the 76ers are 20-34 in a game out in the Eastern Conference, and the Warriors are a game above 500 and clinging to the 10th spot. Come on, man. I get it. It's been the East versus West for a long time. It's never going to happen. There needs to be some sort of reseeding, though, because this is an absolute travesty, what's going on in the East compared to the West. It's a joke.
Yeah, especially that middle part of the conference. I mean, obviously, the depth is out west. I mean, you could argue the East has better top teams, right? Boston, Cleveland,
sure.
Knicks. But, I also don't really care too much about like the Sixers squeaking in at the 10 because they're going to play a 9-10 play-in game and maybe lose it and then play another, you know, if they win that game and win the next game, then they're going to be the 1-8 and get smoked in the first round. So I don't think it's going to, you know, basically tilt the championship race. But yeah, I mean, like that's the West. So
could they ever reseed in the future? Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off there because Adam Silver's in town. It's the All-Star game. They're talking about all these new ways, you know, shortening the quarters, this, that, the other. I'm just throwing it out there because I do think the West has just dominated the East basically my entire life, past Michael Jordan, obviously. It's been the Lakers. It's been the Spurs, the Mavericks for a little bit, the Warriors, obviously, like – I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too much into it. It bothers me when I look at the standings. And sure as the league, they would love the Warriors. Like, give me a Warriors, I don't know, a Warriors-Pistons matchup would be awesome. The young upstart Pistons, Cade Cunningham, a bigger market. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too much into it.
Can I tell you something? I don't want to cover Warriors Pistons first round. I don't want to be going to Detroit and back.
Draymond would love that. There's storylines galore. Come on.
I love giving Warriors LA. Warriors Kings a couple of years ago, that was perfect.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Five blocks from your house.
Well, travel does matter, and, like, time zones matter, and, like, I think the NBA can, you know, traditions a little bit matter to them. But I will say, Adam Silver's having a press conference at Chase Center, I think, on Saturday. Why don't you come on down? I want you to bring that heat, you know, wind your question up that way and see what he says to you.
I'll be sleeping then. Sorry, Anthony. I got to get up too early for this. The weekends, I got to reset, refocus, but I appreciate you saying that, Joe Shasky.
You know, obviously Jimmy Butler's going to get all the headlines, and rightfully, right? I mean, he's marquee player, big trade. You know, you got rid of a lot of people like, a fan favorite, if you will, of Andrew Wiggins. I love what I'm seeing from the random guys, and they're not all going to play great every night, but you obviously touched on Pajemski. Moses Moody's been playing excellent. I would argue it's his best month of basketball of his career, and it's he's getting consistent minutes. He's making his impact even when he's not just hitting shots. Guy Santos just plays winning basketball. You know, he's always in the right spot. He's got a knack for rebounding. He is a guy who's a really good passer. I love what I'm seeing from Quentin Post. It feels like kind of trimming down that bench a little and having more clearly defined roles has really helped everyone out.
Yeah, although I didn't like, yeah, I thought Guy Santos had a rough one last night, but
sure, last night wasn't great.
Yeah. 13 out of 15 games, Moses Moody has scored double figures. I agree with you. He's starting to get consistent minutes. And I think generally a lot of people thought this was in him, if given this type of role. Kuminga's on the way. Even Pat Spencer last night, I think they plugged him in for some, just some energy on the second night of back to back. He always brings, you know, at least, you know, some spark in the legs. So, the rotation makes more sense. It was a 4-for-1 trade. They're going to add two guys coming out of the break. I don't think they're necessarily going to be rotation guys, but I do think the consolidation trade helped. And, you know, I think you've seen some of Mike Dunleavy's draft picks, fringe type moves, over the last couple of years. Like, they're showing up well. I mean, to get Post 52nd overall, he's already changed a couple games. He basically closed the game in Milwaukee with that, you know, three threes and mm-hmm. whatever it was, 3 or 4 minutes to start the fourth. Like, to have a guy that's essentially, you just, you know, converted him from a two-way, like flip a road game like that or close a road game down, like that's already getting more value than, you know, a team would normally expect out of the 52nd pick. So there's some small stuff that's going well for the Warriors.
Talking with Anthony Slater, our 95% of the Game Warriors insider, and obviously covers the team for The Athletic. And Anthony, Jonathan Kuminga, the next big domino to fall here, going to be reevaluated next week. Hopefully everything goes well and we're seeing him sooner rather than later. How do you foresee him fitting in with this crew? Obviously, he'll be on a minutes restriction, you would assume, early on. How do you foresee everything shaking out with the addition of Jimmy now and Jonathan Kuminga being reinstituted in this team, if you will?
Yeah, I think he's really going to matter, obviously, in like those second unit lineups. I want to see him and Jimmy Butler together. They want to see each other together. I talked to, you know, both of them, you know, basically about each other. I wrote a story this week about Kuminga and his future, his contract that needs to get solved. That kind of sits in the background, of all this. But, you know, he's pumped. You know, Butler not only is to him like kind of a model of the type of offensive player he should be and wants to be, which is just like a power downhill type guy, lives at the rim, takes more than half of his shots, you know, in the restricted area, gets to the free throw line, still will shoot the mid-range jumper, still will shoot the three. But also, like, you know, it's, I think Kuminga is better in a small ball environment. And I think what this roster has molded into, it's going to be a lot more Draymond at center, maybe more than he'd like to play. But it's winning time. You know, we're heading towards March, April, May. Like, Draymond Green at the center is going to be how they have to close, like, most of these games. And that'll allow Kuminga, as we've seen in the past, right? You remember last year, was the only way for them to play Kuminga and Wiggins together was Draymond at the center. But those lineups worked. Now it's even better version of that, right? It's Kuminga, Butler, and Draymond. I'd expect to be the 3, 4, 5 at the most important moments of this season. And I think two things Jonathan Kuminga needs to do well for those lineups to work. It's going to be individually defend, because I think Butler isn't the individual defender at this stage of his career that Wiggins was, you know, point of attack. But Butler's a terror off the ball. We've seen some of the steals and sneaky stuff he does. They think they can build a really good defense with Butler and Draymond kind of roaming, but they need somebody to guard the ball. And to me, Kuminga, at least, you know, physical tools, is a candidate. So if he locks into that, I mean, that'll earn him some more money in free agency. And then the other thing, hit some catch-and-shoot threes. Defenses are going to leave him open. He's 40% this season on catch-and-shoot threes. The pull-up threes, he's not near 40%. But if he could just hit those catch-and-shoot wing threes, which I think you feel decent about when he rises up in rhythm, then I think, you know, you can play these lineups and you can win with these lineups.
Anthony, we appreciate the time, man. Always so good to us. Real quick, any Valentine's Day plans? You a big Valentine's Day guy?
Well, we'll be hanging out with my wife. My son is coming to the Bay Area with her for All-Star Weekend, so I'll do dinner with her tonight. So that's good enough for me.
Strong. No, that's great. Shout out to all of you listening Valentine's Day. It's not too late. Send a text, get a call, get a voicemail in there.
I would bring a rain jacket.
It's sunny right now in downtown San Francisco.
I'm not in the Bay Area yet.
No, it's sunny right now in Financial District, so we're chilling right now, Anthony. Hey, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the festivities this weekend and everything, and we'll do it again next week.
Okay, see y'all.
All right, that's Anthony Slater. As all guests on 95.7 The Game, join us on the River Islands guest line. All guests, do that. River Islands, guess one. It's time for you to discover the islands. River Islands life. I said the same thing twice, so now I was getting in my own head there. Real quick, Joe Shasky, it's time to give out that keyword for the Knockout Contest.
It's time!
This is copyright. Are we allowed to say it like that?
Why not?
I don't know. Do we have to dump
I'm not
that?
Allowed to say it's time? They don't copyright allowed the words.
Well, no, but that's the phrase. Like, you said it in a certain way. Like, I don't want to get in trouble. No.
You better be careful.
Yeah, please, be careful.
Not time!
Thank you. All right, you can say that. No, it is time to give out the keyword. And the keyword for the Knockout Tournament to play Hoops at Chase Center is all. Again, the key word is all. As in, hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. R.I.P. Steve Harwell, former lead singer of Smash Mouth. So listen between 8:30 and 9, and when you hear the sounder, you got it? Not now, but next time, give the keyword and you'll be on your way to Chase Center to play in the 95-7 The Game Knockout Tournament. Joe Shasky, your reaction to what Anthony Slater had to say in regards to Jonathan Kuminga coming back and fitting in with Jimmy Butler.
They need him. I mean, they need another perimeter defender, absolutely, like to the fullest. So, yeah, bring him on. They also need more athleticism. You know, they seem to be getting the shots from the outside, but boy, it'd be nice to have some guys go into the rim. That's what made kind of Moses Moody been so good, is he's actually been taking the ball to the hoop.
It's been nice to see Moses becoming more and more confident, but just getting the minutes consistently. I think that's just what fans were so frustrated with.
Yeah.
Was the lack of consistency. They felt frustrated on Moody's behalf. And yeah, Moody's the consummate professional. They've been talking about it. Steve Kerr's been saying since he's been drafted out of Arkansas. An old soul, right? He's very mature for his age. And part of that maturity was not being frustrated and going to the Chronicle, going to various media outlets like Jonathan Kuminga did. Obviously, there was some frustration there. Not saying what Jonathan Kuminga did. You know, I understand where Jonathan Kuminga was at too, because he was frustrated. But Moody also showing his frustrations, you know, not to the media, but privately. I think it's leading all up to this, and I'm very happy for him for this consistency. Now, when JK comes back, again, adding another layer into this, it just adds to the melting pot of everything for Steve Kerr. This has been the most trying season for him, given everything that's happened. It's just going to be another layer that he's going to have to mix and match. It's a game of Tetris, if you will, Joe Shasky. It's a Rubik's Cube. He's going to have to solve it, and it's going to be another layer there. 888-957-9570. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Safeway. Bonta Hill, in studio in 30 minutes. Cannot wait for that. I'm very interested to see what he has to say in regards to the Jimmy Butler experience. 3-1. What is he liked? What is he not liked? Is there not, like, I'm curious if there's anything negative about Jimmy Butler that you've seen right now. I think everyone was worrying about the off the court stuff. The him and Draymond are going to be yelling at each other. I was like, yeah, there's been yelling, but it's all been positive. It's been getting on each other about certain things, or it's been just timing issues. There hasn't been anything that's been egregious in any of these games. They haven't been blown out. They've been blowing teams out. They should have blown out the Rockets yesterday. They let them creep back
in. That's the NBA.
That's the NBA.
I mean, you could have said the same about Dallas the night before.
And the Rockets are the fourth seed in the West right now. Like, they're a good team.
They are.
Like, let's
it's a win.
I don't want to underscore that. Like, they had all of their starters, basically, except for Fred VanVleet, who was a big miss for them yesterday because VanVleet has been killing the Warriors in the past, going back to that 2019 NBA Finals, obviously, where he turned into a man possessed after he became a father. So we'll get into that with Bonte. All that, this, that, and the other. Plus, knockout giveaway. On the other side, it's Spadoni, it's Shasky. It's brought to you by Safeway on 95.7 The Game.